Flavor is everywhere.
From text to mechanics.
Spicy pulls.
Salty plays.
The sweet taste of victory.
And the bitter sting of defeat.
It can lead to sour faces.
And umami friendships.
But all these flavors bring people together.
For a gathering.
A potluck of creativity, skill, and above all,
magic.
Hello and welcome to Flavor Profiles. I'm Matt.
And I'm Nat.
And today, following up on quite the apocalyptic release of the weekend with Fallout, we're going to look at some of the counters. And we don't mean the ones that just say, nope.
In this case, we're not talking about counter spells. We're talking about counters like marker counters.
Everything from rads to energy, plus ones, minus ones, a little bit of poison, maybe some lifelink, stack them all up. Get something big and beefy that flies, tramples, and does all the things, and can almost turn a card into a bit of alphabet soup when you think.
Yeah, true.
Everyone knows we were excited for Mothman with rad counters. You got to take it for a test drive this weekend, right?
I haven't actually played the deck yet. I did not have time this weekend, but no, I'm excited to play it. Because not only do you have rad counters, but you also have the what you think of when you think of counters, which are your standard +1/+1 counters. So you get two types of counters, twice the fun.
Double your pleasure, double your fun.
Yeah. So I haven't played it yet, but
I got to take it for a bit of a spin while in Philly, and it is wild. I needed to give it a little bit better shuffle because I seem to get everything around 5 CMC and up right up top. But we had rad counters going around the table, and that was wild because I seemed to be the one that kept accumulating them. Every time I do the mill trigger for it, I'd get a lamp.
That kind of makes it fun though, because it's like it's almost like luck, you know. There's always a little bit of luck involved and magic, and so you know you can pop off with rad counters and be milling out your opponents, or you could accidentally be milling yourself. So
it was still fun, I won't lie. Milling all my lands every turn that was a little frustrating for having a bunch of larger creatures.
Yeah.
And then one of I am going blank on who played it, but it's an artifact creature where every non-artifact spell costs one extra.
Mm.
It was always one short.
Oh no.
But I am looking forward to giving it another run. As one that I did get to have a lot of fun with was Denry Klin, Editor-in-Chief.
Yeah, when I made that deck, I really didn't know what to expect. I was like, because I tried to make it kind of budget too, you know, so that way like it wasn't like a super expensive deck. And so, I don't know, I had no idea how it was going to do.
I put it up against anyone and everyone this weekend. I was over at SCG Philly, for you didn't see any of the random tweets when we'd occasionally get cell service. But Denny Klin was one of the two face cards from the Bant deck in Nuka Penna, even though it's an Azorius card. It was one of kind of the specials for that. A legendary cat advisor that's a 2/2. When it ETBs, it gets your choice of a +1/+1 first strike or a vigilance counter. And whenever a non-token creature you control enters the battle, if Denry has counters on it, put the same number and kind of counters on that creature. Let me tell you, all the counters.
Yeah, good.
Scavenged Brawler is now one of my favorite cards.
I love that.
Because, I think I had Henry at a 9/9 with flying, lifelink, vigilance, first strike, a shield counter, and I think that was everything I got at that before I was taken out, rightfully so.
Yeah, the other Fallout decks that we haven't talked about, that obviously neither of us have tried out yet, is the science one that brings back energy counters.
Yeah, we haven't seen energy in a while since it was a Kaladesh base, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like we're going to get more energy later this year in Modern Horizons 3. So start buying energy cards.
Energy is interesting to me because I feel like people either hate it or love it.
When I came back to Magic and suddenly discovered energy as an option, like, oh, this is kind of neat. And then I thought, you know what? I'm going to build a deck for my son, who at that time was really small, but knew who Pikachu was and thought Pikachu was the greatest. I thought, oh, I'll do a deck kind of Pikachu themed with energy. And then found out there just really weren't that many energy generators, as it were. But now it looks like we're getting quite a bit.
I don't mind energy. Energy seems like an acquired taste. Mm-hmm. People love it or hate it. And I think the reason people hate it is because they don't like having another thing. But I feel like there's already so many other things that I don't mind energy, because it feels like it just replaces one of those other things, especially like, you know, in this deck where it's very energy focused.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm flipping through the deck right now. As we're talking about it, and it's kind of fun. It's like a little mini game. It really leans heavily into the resource management and allocation in Magic, and get a lot of payoffs. With Dr. Madison Lee, you can pay energy to draw a card, return an artifact to the battlefield from your graveyard, get +1/+0, trample and haste. There are cards that enter the battlefield start giving you energy to work with. There could be some potential between this, the existing cards in Kaladesh, and what might be coming in Modern Horizons 3. I know they posted the photo of the commander deck they were going to do for MH3 tied to energy. I don't remember what colors it's.
Because I know I saw it too, but I don't remember right off the top of my head. I know there was red in it.
One card I did like, and I cracked it in one of the little mini collector boosters in a deck, was Electro Siphon. 2 blue and a red, counter target spell and get an amount of energy equal to its mana value. I thought that was a fun and flavorful counter for this.
Yeah, I kind of like that, because you could, depending on what you're countering, you could get a lot of energy counters. Some other counters we see, but not necessarily in those decks. I built a whole deck around proliferating, because when Millennium Calendar came out and Ixalan, which uses time counters, I wanted to build a proliferate deck. I have the hardest time saying that word. And mainly just because I wanted to play this card. And actually in Vegas, I played against someone who was playing an Oathbreaker deck. And the whole point of the Oathbreaker deck was Millennium Calendar. And it was actually really cool.
I know who that was. That's a friend of mine in the DC Magic group.
Okay.
Was it Ryan? Ryan Urig?
I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure. Do you get a lot of counters on that calendar?
Yeah, I mean, we all died to it. It was pretty much the basis of the deck. Like, the whole point of the deck was built to make Millennium Calendar go off.
One that kind of piqued my interest was West Counters.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
There's, who is it? Moira Brown, guide author from Fallout in Boros. So when she ETBs, you create a colorless equipment artifact token named the Wasteland Survival Guide. And then it has equipped creature gets +1/+1 for each quest counter among permanents you control at cost of 1. And it really fits into the idea of Fallout with going out on quests out in the wasteland. So you're building up that experience, as it were, and getting stronger. There are 14 cards that include Bray's quest counter, and a lot of them seem to be from Fallout, but they do exist from beforehand, going all the way back to Zendikar. And one that could kind of fit in there too, it'd probably be best for a Boros equipment style deck, is Quest for the Holy Relic. So it's an enchantment for 1 white. Whenever you cast a creature spell, you may put a quest counter on, you can remove 5 quest counters and sacrifice it, and then search your library for an equipment card, put it onto the battlefield, and attach it to a creature.
So it's expensive, but you get a lot out of it.
Yeah, it'll take a little bit of time to get it going, but if you can hold off a little bit, it seems like something I would have put in my old Sir Gwyn.
So speaking of Oathbreaker, we also have loyalty counters for planeswalkers. Sometimes you have ways to cheat loyalty counters. Like, I still have Commodore Guff together, and Guff puts a counter on another planeswalker on your end step, I think. That deck is a lot of fun. If you have a way to put additional loyalty counters on planeswalkers, they're strong.
Mm-hmm. The chain veil.
Mm-hmm.
That one helps you getting extra. I think of a couple other.
I know there's a few.
Gaining loyalty counters is always fun, but personally, my favorite is spending them.
Yeah.
You have a favorite ultimate for a planeswalker?
That's a good question. I do really like, trying to remember which keyword it is. The one where you make krakens.
Oh, yeah.
That one's fun, just to be fun. It's not like the most powerful alt, but I do really like that one. As you have Nightmare Muse, you get to cast things that you've exiled from your opponents, which is always fun for me. I think those are some of my favorites.
I always liked getting to do Jace Memory Add or making any number of target players draw 20 cards and then try and do that into a Jessica's Will.
Oh, yeah.
Just kind of make them think, yeah, here's a gift.
Me. Yeah, that's good. That's good. I like that.
And it's just kind of silly. And the other one I like that's equally silly is a Johnny Collar of the Pride, where it's put X 2/2 white cat creature tokens into the battlefield where X is your life total.
Yeah.
You can just distract them enough so they don't take it out.
I feel like counters are kind of broken.
It can be. I mean, especially with Proliferate.
Mm-hmm.
If you get enough cards to kind of trigger that, and Proliferate goes all the way back to War of the Spark, mm-hmm. where it first started, and it's just a fitting mechanic in a nuclear wasteland for Fallout.
I did play a bunch of Oathbreaker this weekend. I did a stream. And you know what card? I haven't decided if I want to completely keep Mothman together or just make a few edits. Mm-hmm. I did make an edit to the Mothman deck. I would put in a Vorinclex, which is like really mean for other people, but it's so good for you because you get double counters.
Yeah, I like, part of me wants to call you a monster, but most of me is like, nope, I'm okay with this.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of people don't play Vorinclex as often now because it is kind of what we would probably consider on the salty to bitter scale of our flavor hex.
My first mythic pulled when I came back to Magic was Vorinclex out of the last pack of Kaldheim at the one store I could go to. Here is the one, and it is in my Oathbreaker deck for Luka Bound to Ruin, which may or may not be, I don't want to call it toxic, but it has a lot of toxic in it.
I mean, Luka as a character is pretty toxic anyways, so
yeah,
the flavor's there.
It's all for the bit.
It's all for the bit. Yeah.
I didn't even think about Vorinclex and Mothman, and that would be a lot of
fun. Yeah. I mean, if you're really tired of people using counters, just play a Vorinclex. I mean, I'll fix him.
famous last words.
Fix him. Yeah. It'll definitely help with the counters. Just because there's so many now, like there's no like official list of all of the different kinds of counters, but I'm just kind of looking through like what I can find online, and like there's just so many different ones. Like we talked about all the keyword counters. Like you obviously know that really well if you play an Indoraptor deck. Like you said, there's shield counters, there's stun counters, there's defense counters, finality counters, bounty counters.
Oh, I forgot about me.
Oil counters. I do want to build an oil counter deck at some point.
They're acorn counters.
Acorn counters. Charge counters. There's so many.
I just went to the MTG fandom wiki and found a master list of all of the.
Oh, did you?
Counters. It's counter marker full list, and this goes on and on. It is so detailed that it goes through every plus X plus Y variant, where you can find it, what's going on, bounty counters, carrion counters,
air counters is destiny. What, some of these are crazy.
Egg counters, ember counters, the eruption counter. Some of these seem to be very specialized to particular sets. Like an eruption counter comes from Pompeii for Doctor Who, and it's one of the planes in the plane chase. Fate counters from Mirrodin and Theros.
Love to see more croak counters. Personally, I think that would be cool.
What does a croak
frogs up in here? It comes from Grolnok the Omnivore from Crimson Vow. So whenever a permanent card is put into your graveyard from your library, you exile with a Croak counter on it, and then you can play lands and cast spells from one card you own in exile with Croak counters on them. So it's like Croak. Like when you die, you know, like there's that joke where you're like, you're croaking. So yeah. That's where they got that from.
I like that. Here's a fun one. It was another Doctor Who one, but Flood counters from the Flood of Mars creature. So whenever the Flood of Mars attacks, put a Flood counter on another target creature or land. If it's a creature, it becomes a copy of the Flood of Mars. If it's a land, it becomes an island in addition to other types. That card got out of... looks like there were Flood counters, and several others to turn lands into... islands.
The one I can think of immediately is the Axolotl deck from Ixalan. Well, not deck, creature. Where you're putting flood counters on islands or on lands to make them islands. It's like a word, Blood Moon.
Here's one that you're going to be keeping an eye out for shortly this year. Hit counters.
Yep. Hit counters. I love me some hit counters. Atrada, thank you.
Atrada, Mari the Killing Quill.
Yeah, my girls, they're putting hits out on the people.
That's going to be straight up assassin.
Yeah.
I would say you heard it here first, but if I announce it too much, I'll...
there's just so many.
I'm nowhere near the bottom of this list, just kind of scrolling through as I'm going. And there's just a generic keyword counter link to cover all of the core ones. Some of these, I want to kind of see if it's possible to do a counters matter that uses as many as possible.
Sure, it can be done. You probably would have to go... well, depending on what colors the cards are, you might have to go 5C, but
I think it'd have to be a 5 color unless there's a way to do, like, I almost want to do something alphabetical, one of each letter available. Mm. It'd be something silly, another challenge to make, but I have enough challenges.
I wonder if they're going to bring any of these back or if they're just going to keep adding new unique ones to each set they do. I feel like they do that because of flavor reasons. Like a lot of these counters are very similar. Like in what they do, like some of them are like almost exactly the same. But I think because of the flavor, they just changed the name of it.
I think so. Between things like story counters and quest counter kind of matching, it'd be great if there was a way to oracle several of to have a shared effect long term. But honestly, we might not see many of these ever again. I was honestly curious if we'd see shield counters much after Nuka, which I thought they were honestly pretty clever.
I mean, and you go all the way to the bottom of this page and there's like a whole list of counters that are only on single cards. Like they're not included in the list above. For them on this page, they said common counters that they would consider most used, most popular, are +1/+1, are -1/-1, charge counters, defense counters, which is interesting to me because I feel like I don't see that. Energy counters, finality counters, lore counters, loyalty counters, oil counters, poison, stun, and time, which I think I agree with most of these except for defense.
Yeah, defense kind of not so much. Stun we saw a lot of with Wilds of Eldraine.
And oil was really only in Phyrexia.
Probably won't see much of that.
Yeah.
Everyone was all about that oil.
Yeah, so I don't know about defense, but I feel like the rest of these are probably, and then they included keyword counters, of course.
Can't go old reliable.
Yeah.
Arrow counters, archery.
I would love to see them bring back, and I know a lot of people have mimicked the sentiment, and I know I haven't played the deck yet, but I feel like it would be really cool for them to bring rad counters back again because people love them. Whether they're actually called rad counters or if they have to name them something different for flavor reasons.
So my thought on that, I was talking with Gog a bit at Illy, and we were thinking the same things. Rad counters were fun at the table. Everyone gets one. It's kind of a fun little mini game. Will it hurt you? Won't it hurt you? And the thought I had is there's the horror set coming later this year. We still don't have a whole lot of information about. What if in the horror set they bring back something that could use rad or something?
That might stretch it a bit. I feel like from the art that I've seen for that set, they're going for more of like a Phyrexia type horror than they are like...
kind of a body horror.
But maybe they can still find, like you said, a mutant or something and make it a rad counter. But I feel like sometimes when they have these very specific sets, like Universes Beyond sets, they will intentionally change the name of counters to fit those sets. So
there's probably something that's going to be more in-world magic version, yeah, or at least the thought of it.
So when you think about the effect and what it does, is there something other than rad you can think of that would maybe make sense for like what it does as a counter? Like if you were suddenly given the job of game designer at Wizards of the Coast and you had to rename this counter.
So grab the counter. I want to beginning of your pre-combat main phase. If you have any rad counterland, build this. It kind of has like a tax. We're talking about doing taxes this time of year, right before we started recording. Mm-hmm. And it has that kind of financial sort of transaction. Like you are levied a tax and you need to pay it or else it's going to go up. And I could see something like this weirdly in Orzhov, even though it's with the mill, it's more Dimir.
Yeah.
We did see three color pairings, murders that showcase individuals that left one guild kind of adhering more to elements of a third or of a second, you think?
The right word, but you know, when I look at the card and I look at the design of the card, I almost see like similar to like when you think about like Ashiok and Horrors and mm-hmm. those kind of like Dimir kind of, I think of like Brain Stealer Dragon, you know, those kinds of creatures and what they do and the milling. Something that has to do with like the brain and like,
oh,
like a siphon almost.
Yes.
Like a siphon counter.
When you started talking Ashiok, I was thinking sort of losing your mind from insomnia trying to sleep.
Yes. So if I had to name it, I would name it like a siphon counter, because not only are you siphoning, like, because you lose a life, but you also mill a card. So it's like,
it makes me think of
you're siphoning resources.
Yeah. I was told that on occasion, because I'm more of a night owl, much to my own detriment, that all the times I'm drinking extra coffee or staying up to play an extra game or spend more time with people instead of sleeping, that I was taking out a loan on tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what your kind of thought process on the siphon is, that cost you risk paying.
Yeah. And it like can keep like stacking up, you know, yep, if you don't take care of it.
Yeah. If you go too many days without enough sleep or taking an extra hour to do something, which sometimes you need to do, you need to take an extra hour. It's important, but sure, you do need to make sure that you're taking care of yourself at the
same time. Yeah.
I would love rad and
stuff. I feel like it's finally, like I said, I've seen so many people excited about what it does. It makes me happy because I've always loved mill, and I feel like this gives people a way to kind of just like step into it without like it being too scary. You know, it's like we're going into the shallow end, just like diving straight in.
It's very flavorful. I mean, not just for in general. Yeah, it's baby mill.
Yeah.
And everyone loves mini games, and it kind of is a flip. Hurt you, get to flip more. And with Mothman, it works to your favor a lot that you're putting cards in your own grid, because you'll be able to bring them back.
I have another question for you. When you think about a card that has any type of counter, like any type of counter mechanic, what are some of your favorites?
Ooh. You know, one card was from Ikoria. It was a mono white card. Spontaneous Flight, I think, where it's an instant, give +2/+2 to the end of turn, add a flying target creature. And sometimes I just like the basic, something that takes it, in this case, to another altitude. Flyers will win games, but it's just short, simple, and to the
I mean, that's a cool one.
And it's, the art on it is super cute because it's someone gently tossing a box that's magically sprouted wings. It's just a little three cost and you get a flying counter. Having that in Denry, you cast it on Denry, and then everything that gets cast after that with a flying counter.
Pretty good. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Frequent flyer miles.
I think my favorite card that deals with counters, I feel like this card is slept on. And I feel like more people need to play this card. Like looking at it right now, it's a 21-cent card. Like y'all need to pick this card up. It's As Foretold. If you don't know what this card is, it's 2 and a blue. So if you're playing a blue deck, do it. So at the beginning of your upkeep, you put a time counter on it. And then once each turn, you may pay 0 rather than pay the mana for a spell you cast with mana value X or less, where X is the number of time counters on As Foretold. And y'all, the amount of free spells I have cast with this card over the years, like, it slept on. Y'all need to play it more. It's so good.
Oh, this is, I mean, sure, it's going to be a target redrop. That's not bad.
And I mean, if you have any way to have extra upkeeps, or proliferate, this card gets even better.
We have proliferation in blue, and with the Doctor Who set, we have, I believe it was ninth Doctor, gives you a second.
Well, and like, honestly, I can tell you, in the games that I've played this card has actually been like less of a target than other things that other people have played. So people kind of, like I said, they sleep on it. So even in games, I feel like people, like, they don't forget that it's on my battlefield, but like, they just don't care as much, like, because someone else has like a smothering tied out or like something that seems scarier. But like, I'm casting free spells with this. So
it up this
it's angst. 21 cents.
Well, after the, I'm going to pick it up before we drop this episode. It might go up to 22 cents.
I don't think I have that much of an influence, but maybe I'll bring it up to like a quarter.
Bold move in the stonks market.
Bold move in the stonks market. If they even have them, because it's such a cheap card that
mine probably does.
Search for them.
Mine has a very large selection. I'll pick up a couple.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Yeah, so that's one of my favorites.
Say that card's not slept on. People slept.
Yeah, people are dreaming. Like they forgot about this card. It's good. It's good, y'all. Yeah, it looks like there were a lot of like ones like in older sets that just have never been brought back. And it seems like we keep getting new counters and new mechanics with each set. So
one of the more popular ones I'd last year was from One Ring. That was a nice.
Yeah, that's a good card. That's a good card.
You know which one I just remember? Because right now we have all the brackets for the MTG pets going on.
Oh, yeah.
Keiko, Arcane Retriever, the fetch counters.
Counters. Cute.
So whenever Peiko attacks, exile the top card of each player's library and put a fetch counter on each of them. Put a 1/1 counter on Peiko for each non-creature card exiled this way. And then it partners with Haldan. You may play non-creature cards from exile with fetch counters on them if you exiled them, and you may spend mana as though it were mana.
Pretty good. That's what I think more people ever. I've never played against someone who has that deck. I feel like
it's wild. I've played against. I know a couple people who have them.
I don't know a single person who does.
I think Lua has. I want to. Someone else we know I played with on stream had one, and I just every other turn it was, we need to take them out very quickly because we're losing control of everything we have and getting killed. Definitely another one of those very flavorful counters.
I feel like all of the counters are just so reliant on flavor.
That's probably why we have so many. It's like rainbow sprinkles.
Yeah.
There's a counter for everything.
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't really find any of them atrocious in any way. They're all kind of fun. And every time I see a new one, I have to go look it up because I promptly forgot it the last one moment I saw it. But I always find some sort of joy in
using. Yeah, I feel like I do. But also, like, at the same time, a lot of the times when people are playing counters, it just snowballs so fast. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, oh, you know, we're having a good time. And then all of a sudden it's like, too much.
Nothing to worry about. Don't pay attention to me.
It's fine. My creatures aren't now like 20+20+20 because I've put so many counters on them.
Why are you looking at my board now? Nothing to see.
No. Well, like, I have a counters combo deck with Shalayan Halar. So it's like, with all of E1, that card puts in work.
That card and that deck is.
There's just so many ways to just combo in that deck that it's just a little crazy.
I know I'd love to hear everyone in the audience's favorite obscure or common counter of choice, what they use.
Yeah, I'm curious to know as well. If you use like an obscure counter, I want to know what it is and how you use it.
And if the counter were an ice cream,
one might be a little trickier.
And with that, I think we'll be seeing everyone next time for another episode. Been great having you in our kitchen.
Let us know if you have a favorite flavor on socials.
We can be found on Twitter, YouTube, and everywhere your favorite podcasts are served up.
Just search for Flavor Profiles.
Our music is by Cormac Bluestone.
Thank you for listening.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Nat.
Until next time.
Until next time.
Keep cooking magic.